Welcome to this podcast of Sunday nights on ABC Local Radio. I hope you enjoyed the program. You're on Sunday night on ABC Local Radio. John Cleary with you, and coming up a little later in this hour, the 20th International AIDS Conference in Melbourne, with the Catholic Church's Special Advisor on AIDS and HIV, Monsignor Robert Vitillo. But first, to the destruction of a civilization in Iraq. This week's news has been dominated by the Malaysian Airlines tragedy in Ukraine. What's begun to creep closer to the front pages, however, is news of the horrors being inflicted by ISIS in Iraq. ISIS have declared Christians who have been in Iraq since long before the rise of Islam must convert or be put to the sword. Photographs of beheadings and now public crucifixions are showing up all over the web. On Friday, reports of fundamentalist horrors now reaching into the Muslim community emerged, with report that ISIS have declared that all women aged between 11 and 46 should be subject to female circumcision. Some call it mutilation. Last week, I managed to speak with the head of the Chaldean Catholic Church in Iraq, Patriarch Sarko, and we shall hear from him shortly. But first, Andrew West of the Religion and Ethics Report on Radio National is speaking with the Middle East coordinator of the Catholic agency Aid to the Church in Need, Andre Halemba.
Mosul is empty from Christians. 2,000 years of history, beautiful history, where the Christians and Muslims for 4 centuries, they help each other. But now it's the end of Christianity in Mosul. This is dreadful news.
As you know, at the weekend, Christians in Mosul were given a deadline and they were given an ultimatum to leave or to convert to Islam. And if they refused, I think the words were, there is nothing for them but the sword. How many people have left?
Altogether, there were more or less 25,000 to 30,000 people left Mosul, but it started a long time ago. 2 years ago in Mosul, we were driving carefully through the roads of Mosul with Archbishop Nona, trying to avoid any situation where we could be recognized as Christians, as priests. And I remember talking to the people, ladies coming to the church, and she told me, Father, there are only two places in my life now. One is the church where I can come and quietly pray, and secondly, it's my room. I cannot go to buy on the market because it's too dangerous for me. I am a Christian, so I have to ask my neighbor Muslims to go for me and to shop. So the situation was already dreadful, but the people, they were stubborn. They said, this is our place. This is our home. Why shall I leave? The many left 4 or 5 years ago already, but 30,000 stayed, and ISIS came and changed everything. They put so much fear into the people that they left practically everything, their houses. After a couple of weeks, they thought, okay, the situation is stabilizing. Maybe we can go back. So some people, around 400 families, went back to Mosul to check what is happening to their properties. They stayed for a couple of days, and suddenly came this decree. They said, you have only 3 possibilities. Convert to Islam, or you pay jizya, which means a tribute for being a Christian. But of course, the limits were not set, so you could pay anything.
Yes.
As they did in Raqqa, for example, in Syria, they were asking so much gold for every month to pay to the Muslims. They couldn't pay it, of course, they have to leave. Or if they refuse, there is nothing for them but the sword. It
yes.
means to be killed.
Do we know how many Christians and other religious minorities, because there are other very small religious minorities also in the firing line, do we in fact know how many have been killed?
Well, this is very hard to say because the communications are interrupted. In Iraq, we are taken by a real surprise that such fanatical violence can come.
When was the last contact you in fact had with someone on the ground there in Mosul?
Well, yesterday evening. It means we are in constant contact with them. Today we have interview as well with our bishops. They are gathering and they are thinking about the new situation. What can we do? It's no way to go back to Mosul. We have so many thousands of people looking for a place to stay and looking for drinking water. This is a big problem for the bishops and for the Christians and for the leaders of the society. How to give water to these thirsty people in extremely hot climate as we have it now in Kurdistan.
Well, yes, you mentioned 30,000 have fled Mosul, and you mentioned Kurdistan there. So I'm assuming Kurdistan has been the main destination for the refugees fleeing from ISIS.
Exactly. The main place where they go is Nineveh Plains, starting from Karakosh and Bartella up to Erbil and Kawa. But the ISIS is expanding and now took one of the oldest churches in Iraq and maybe in the world as well, monastery of Bar-Behnam, and they expelled all monks. They have to walk on foot. They couldn't take anything from the beautiful monastery which I visited 2 years ago. My goodness, what will happen? What is the future?
Yes, the homes, I believe, of Christians in Mosul have been painted with the symbol for an N, which is, I think, a reference to Nazarenes, which is how they refer to Christians. Has there also been destruction of religious sites?
This we wouldn't know because there is nobody to witness, but as we know from Raqqa, from Syria, of course they destroy any sign which is a Christian sign, and if they destroy as well some mosque of Shia in Mosul, it means that Christian symbols will be not spared. All these properties of Christians when marked with Nazarenes, which comes from Quran, but as well for the Shia, they wrote the letter R, which means rejectors,
yes,
and means heretics not worthy to be dealt with.
Yes, I think it's important to point out that also, as you say, dissenting Muslims have been targeted here. I believe that in Baghdad, in the capital, some Christian churches are overflowing with Muslim refugees.
Yes, and it is true as well too in Kurdistan, where we have so many parishes, not only Christians are coming, but as well Muslims, because we open the doors to everybody. And I must say, moderate Sunnis, Shias, as well are persecuted. And they are treated even maybe sometimes worse than Christians, because they are considered as heretics. Well, fatwa is on them. I heard yesterday that there were some clerics coming in from the Arabic Peninsula, which were much more radical than the ones who were in Mosul. They stressed that Christians and other Shia should be deprived from water and should be treated very harshly.
So these are clerics coming from the Gulf countries who are even more radical than ISIS?
That's right. Because, you know, ISIS was giving 2 hours water for some villages, Christian villages, but afterwards Emir came from the Arabic Peninsula and they were much more radical. We are dealing not only with soldiers, let us say, but we are dealing with fanatics with enormous amount of money. They are much richer than the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Andre, the patriarch of the Chaldean Catholic Church in Iraq, Patriarch Sarko, has said that Iraq really cannot survive as a single state. So what does that mean for religious minorities in Iraq, not just the Christians?
Well, it means division in certain parts and as well a very poor situation of these minorities. We could see very clearly over the years that at the beginning, Kurdistan was welcoming Christians as well, the ones who had to leave Baghdad and other places, giving them somehow refuge. But now the situation has been changed. In Kurdistan, they will say we cannot receive Christian refugees because of other minorities like Yazidis and others.
Yes.
So division of the country will be dreadful in the future. This will be an awful future for the region.
Well, if we just look at the raw figures, there were 1.3 million Christians in Iraq before the toppling of Saddam Hussein. I think that Patriarch Sarko has predicted that in a few years there will only be 50,000. Is it a case that really Iraq can only exist as a pluralist religious nation under an autocratic regime?
This is what we are afraid of. You know, we are looking at the history, and we know that in Turkey in 1913 we have 23% of Christian population, and now it's 0.1. or 0.2, can you imagine? So we have awful examples, you know, from the past. And this is why Patriarch Zako is afraid that it's the same going to happen in Iraq.
Very bleak prognosis indeed. Father Andre Halemba, the Middle East Project Coordinator for the Aid to the Church in Need, thank you very much for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thank you very much.
Andre Halemba of the Catholic agency Aid to the Church in Need. One of the largest remaining Christian communities in Iraq is the Chaldean Catholics. Their head is Patriarch Raphael Zako. And last week he was in Brussels, where I spoke with him from the BBC studios. I first asked him if Iraq could ever now be put back together.
Really, it should be a miracle, because the risk is a civil war and also the division of Iraq. Now, what we need maybe is a political solution. Security is linked with the political solution, but also to form a national government, and this is not easy.
Some have suggested that Christians may ultimately have to find refuge, if they wish to stay in the region, in some sort of Kurdish state, a Kurdistan emerging, and that is the area that is most sympathetic to Christians.
The future is unknown. We wish, and personally I am looking for, is if there is a plan of federation or division, it should be done with the dialogue, with an agreement among ethnic and also religious groups, and not by war or military intervention.
For many years, you existed in relative harmony with Sunni and Shia. What has been the cause of the breakdown, and is the breakdown on both sides? That is, are there problems now emerging with the Shia around Baghdad for Christians, just as there are with Christians coming under the impact of ISIS in the north and the west?
Well, I think the problem is regional and also international. Muslims now feel that there was no project of citizenship from the beginning, and also an Islamic state has failed with the Muslim brothers, and the project of Ummah, is Arab nation, was also failed, and now the jihadists are looking for a kind of caliphate. This also is incapable to live in our modern society, an Islamic caliphate as it was, you know, in the 7th century. It's not possible today, because Muslims should be open-minded, to update themselves, to be open to others, to accept the others, to respect the others, to strengthen the conviviality, and this is the future. The separation of religion and politics should be done. We should keep religion with a lot of respect, but without interfering in details in the constitution and also in the society. It is a confusion. Today there is no vision and no plans for a real solution.
What's your understanding from where you live and work of the nature of ISIS?
Who is behind ISIS? Who is financing ISIS? They are very strong, because for them they have a cause, they have an objective, a target. So this is the main reason. And they are also ready to give up their life for that. And the moderate Muslims are afraid, really. They cannot state publicly anything, because they are timid and afraid.
Do you feel that ISIS is being funded in part by state actors or just rich individuals?
Maybe both.
And that Saudi is involved?
I am not sure, you know, because we should have proof. Really, we don't have any. I am not a politician, but how to explain that? They have arms, they have everything.
Do you see, at the present instance, external help being in the form of military intervention or some other aid and assistance?
The military intervention is not a solution. And the contrary is destroying everything, you know. And if they want, Americans and others, to implement the democracy of freedom, they have to educate people for that. To form people, it takes time. It is a long term, man. It is not magically done.
What would you suggest? What sort of support and aid is required or desperately needed by your community?
What we need is the stability and also to change the constitutions that should be not sectarian, I mean, should be a civil project of citizenship. Citizenship. I am Iraqi. Doesn't matter. I am Christian. I am whatever, but I am Iraqi. I have duties and I have rights. I am equal to a Muslim or an Arab or a Kurd. Why I am considered a second category? Because of my faith. You know, this is personal.
How can people in Australia take an active interest and support for what you're doing? What would you urge people to do if they wish to assist your situation?
Australia can be very involved in respecting human rights there. I mean, to push the government and also the leaders to respect the rights of all groups, human rights. The government in the area signed that, the charter, but they should be honest and implement them. And we Christians in the Middle East, we feel that we are a little bit isolated. We are sentimental when we feel that our brothers and sisters are close to us, praying for us, and doing something for us. Then we are stronger and we have more hope. But really, we still keep hope. Because we believe in God and also we have a vocation to stay there. We are helping all Iraqis. We are not looking only for Christians. I think we have, as Christians, there to play our role as bridging between all groups and also promoting dialogue and peace. We should be peacemakers as Jesus asked us.
Patriarch of the Chaldean Catholic Church in Iraq, Raphael Sacco of Baghdad. And if you feel you'd like to assist in some small way, Act for Peace, the aid agency of the National Council of Churches in Australia, has sent $30,000 this week and more is needed. Donations for Iraq can be made to actforpeace.org.au or via 1-800-025-101. That's 1-800-025-101.